You blind so painful, cause you're beautiful. You got to be strong, cause you're more than built for this.
Yay, amen. We are here. We are here. Hello, hey queens. How are y'all doing tonight? As now, I am your host and steward, Shatoya Perry, and I have with me today one of my sisters, my friends, and I love her so much. I'm here with Crystal Holdup, and she is our special guest tonight. How are you doing today?
Hello. Thank you so much, Shatoya. Hello to your listening audience or watching audience. Good evening, everyone. And I am blessed on tonight. Just even seeing, you know, God's faithfulness on today, it's been a challenging couple of months, but I've seen God's faithfulness through it. So, you know, I'm learning to see God in the midst of things more and more.
Awesome. And I definitely understand that. We definitely have to learn to see God in the midst of all of our situations and everything that we have going on. I'm excited tonight because we have our continuation of our series that we've been talking about, which is our title today. The title that we've been having is Queens and Scars, Healing from Past Hurts and Embracing, or Healing from Past Hurts and Embracing Through the Power of Forgiveness, or Embracing Forgiveness. And we have been going from a few different angles, and today we are going to see how this works from another angle, another perspective, which God has given Crystal. And once again, I am super, super excited. Hey, Tiffy. Tiffy's in the chat. So once again, we're going to start with the definition of forgiveness. I always like to start with the definition so that everybody understands. Now let's follow along. So forgiveness, as we've been talking about before, forgiveness is a complex and multifaceted concept that involves the process of letting go of resentment, anger, or vengeance towards someone who has harmed you, whether they actually deserve your forgiveness or not. Right. So it doesn't matter if they've done anything to deserve your forgiveness after it's happened, or if they have or if they haven't. Right. It's not just about saying the words "I forgive you," but it involves a deep emotional shift that allows an individual to release negative feelings associated with an offense and move forward, possibly with a renewed sense of understanding, empathy, and compassion towards the offender. Forgiveness can be both beneficial for both the forgiver and the forgiven, leading to improved mental health, reduced stress, and stronger relationships. And it does not necessarily mean forgetting the harm done or condoning unacceptable behavior. I'm going to say that one more time. It does not necessarily mean forgetting the harm done or condoning unacceptable behavior, but finding a way to live in peace despite past hurts. So that's a lot. That's a lot, especially if you've ever lived in a place where you've had to forgive somebody, if you live in a place where you try to learn to forgive somebody, that can be a little bit daunting. But we know somebody that can help us through all of our struggles. And if forgiveness is a struggle, Jesus can definitely help you through that struggle of forgiving.
Yeah.
So, Crystal, let's start. After hearing that definition of forgiveness, right? What does that make you think about?
Well, I would first like to say I can relate to being the one that has struggled with forgiveness, because many times we hear these things in the Christian circles and stuff like that. You have to forgive. And many times people throw that out at people, but then bring up, you know, stuff that a person's done, you know, just bring up the past and all kinds of things and just bring up stuff continually, yet they throw out forgiveness. And so the truth, a lot of times, even in the church, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but a lot of times in the body of Christ, there is no true forgiveness that's happening a lot of times, because we can preach forgiveness, we can declare forgiveness, yet we're still, you know, holding on to things. And so I can relate to the person that has, because I can say, like, a lot of my life, I've learned how to live because of situations, and I guess the way I've learned in different ways, I learned how to be a victim, because that's what it always seemed that as I was before others, you know, I was what some people will call the weakest link a lot of times, the ones that people took advantage of, walked all over, abused and used. So going through that from a young age, I kind of began to see myself as a victim. And going from there, I would, from young age, because I didn't really know how to, I guess, forgive in a way, or how to let go of hurt and pain, I began to just continually rehearse my pain, my heart, over and over, because it kept happening after all. And, you know, it just seemed that that's how my life was. It just was full of hurt, pain, disappointment, rejection, and all those kinds of things. So I can relate, I'll be honest, and relate and say I can relate to the person that struggled with forgiveness, but I also can relate to the person that is in the process of, you know, learning to let go of a lot and that's healing from a lot of pain. And so from that definition, the two words in the word forgive and forgiveness and forgiving is for and give. And for, well, for is, I believe, can line up with this, a reason why you're forgiving. It's a purpose behind it. Because that's God's will, number one. And, you know, it's a lot of times, like I said before, over and over, I'm not trying to put a cliche out there, but it's true, it's for yourself. And it's also for your purpose. You know, how can we move on in our purpose and what God has called us to be? And we're holding on to a lot of pain, hurt, bitterness, resentment, all those kinds of things. You know, so it's for God's purposes most of all, you know, because God's purposes is what stands at the end of the day, you know. And so his purposes are on the inside of us. But a lot of times the purpose that God has on the inside of us is held back because there's a lot of things that we're holding on to. And so maybe I can say from a perspective of some people have a hard time letting go of things because maybe... And I've learned to see it a lot of times, people have lost a lot, you know, they have gone through a lot of disappointments. And so what sometimes it can show up in what we go through and just in life where we hold on to things that even physical things sometimes that we need to let go of because we have experienced a lot of loss and grief and different situations. So like the word for is for something. So if it's for a better purpose or a greater purpose, if it's for the purposes of God, you know, we know that it's for something. We're not just forgiven just to forgive, you know, we're forgiven because there is for something. And then the give part of it, given, you know, giving mercy, giving grace, giving compassion, you know, we're given towards others, even when we may think, like you said, may feel that they don't deserve it because after all, they've hurt us, they've wounded us, they have, you know, causes pain, distress, turmoil, whatever it is that we think they have done, you know, we have to be givers even when we've gone through a lot. And so one way we can be a giver, which is not always financial, which is not always in other ways that we may see given as, which is given, you know, one way to be givers is to extend mercy and grace to others, even to those that have caused us a lot of pain.
Absolutely. And once again, we've recognized that sometimes that can be a difficult thing. I wanted to read a few of the comments we have. I'm gonna put them up on the screen. Tiffany said that's a big deal. How to forgive when you see yourself as a victim. And for me, that has not always been an easy topic of how do you forgive when you see yourself as a victim. And I can honestly say God is one of the ways that I've forgiven or learned how to even attempt to forgive, as seeing myself as a victim of different malicious things that has happened in my childhood. Is one, I think I've always kind of had a really forgiving heart. It's something that I actually was kind of talking about earlier today, is I'm open-minded more than I would give myself credit for, you know? I didn't think that I was as open-hearted or open-minded as I've realized today that I am, based off of a topic that I was discussing with my husband. I'm not going to go too much into it because it's kind of, it's off subject. It's on subject, but it's off subject at the same time. And so I'm not going to go, dive into it really deep. But the easy answer is always going to be God. Is always going to be prayer and asking God to help you, because there's nothing that we can do well on our own. Everything that you think that you do well, you do it well because of the grace of God.
Amen.
And when we're not able, God is. Where we fall short, God comes in, mm-hmm. and he takes us the extra mile. Mm. And another one of the comments that you put in the chat is that, yes, many prayers go unanswered because of lack of forgiveness. And that's true. We actually just talked about that in our Bible study lesson about how one of the reasons that we might not get an answer that we want to our prayers is because we may be in sin. One of those sins could possibly be the lack of forgiveness for others. Now, am I saying that I know for me, prayer has never been like an instantaneous, not prayer, but forgiveness has never been one of the most instantaneous aspects of my life. I'm open-minded, I'm big-hearted. Yes, I am. But I've also lived in a state of anger before. And I talked about this in my the previous episode, that I've lived in a place of anger so that I would not get hurt. And that did not help, because when God said that it was time to let go of the anger and to actually look at the reasons why I was angry so that I can accept them, acknowledge them, so that I can let them go, that hurt was still there. The things that I stayed angry so that people couldn't hurt me about, they were still there. So the defense mechanisms that we use to keep ourselves in this, oh, you can't hurt me, so I ain't got to worry about that. That hurt is still there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's easier. I can say for a fact that it's easier to deal with it in the sense of recognize that they hurt you. Mm-hmm. Recognize that you feel this way because of the hurt. And then allow God to take you through the course of forgiveness and what that looks like for you, because with each person and everybody's relationship with God is different. So it's going to be different. But allow God to take you through what that looks like for you. Mm-hmm. Before you get to that place of dwelling in hurt and anger and frustration. Because when he starts pulling back the layers and revealing the hurt and the frustration and the sadness that you thought that you shielded yourself from. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you're going to do. He's going to peel back the layers and you're going to find that they're still there. Mm-hmm. The things that you thought that, oh, I'm untouchable or I'm invisible, you're going to find it's still there. And I think for me, that hurt more than actually being hurt in the first place.
Because
I thought that by me choosing to live in this way, that it saved me from that heartache. It saved me from that sadness, but it was still there. Mm-hmm. So having to deal with that part where versus just accepting and acknowledging it was harder. Mm-hmm. The initial shock of somebody hurting your feelings is, okay, you hurt me, right? This is what you did to me. This hurt me. And this is how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. And then giving them the opportunity to, if they're going to acknowledge that they hurt you, then okay, fine. They acknowledge they hurt you and you all can move forward. Now, if they decide that they're not going to acknowledge that they hurt you, then you have an option to say, mm-hmm. okay, you know what? God, it hurt me that they won't acknowledge that they hurt me. Mm-hmm. So I've tried to talk to them about it. I've acknowledged it. I've accepted it. And now I'm giving it to you and I'm moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, definitely.
Okay. See, I want to talk a little bit about what you said about the purpose, about how forgiveness and giving, how it can affect your purpose or the purpose that God, how it works together in the purpose that God has for you, because you touched on some really good stuff there.
Yes. Say, for example, if a person's purpose is to provide solutions, for example, somewhere, whether it's in the marketplace, wherever, if they have a lot of unforgiveness, the person that they may have to provide solution for may have possibly offended them, hurt them, did something. But if you have a lot of unforgiveness and you can't see that opportunity, you can't see what God wants to do in that moment through you, because you're holding on to what happened yesterday, or you're holding onto something, you know, that happened. And so, many times there are missed opportunities, there's missed open doors that God had for people. And I'm not saying that it can't be restored, because things can be restored, but there's mm-hmm. missed moments that God wanted to use a person. But because of unforgiveness, you know, they can't see. You're blinded. Right. Unforgiveness causes you to be blind, because all you see is the hurt, the offense, whatever happened. You just see that. So that what you see blinds you from seeing what God wants to show you. And so many times God has a purpose, even in the things that we go through, but you know, we're blinded by unforgiveness again. And so that's what it does as well. It blinds you. Unforgiveness blinds you. It can even deafen you from hearing from God. You know, God is speaking to you and we say, oh, God is not speaking to us. He's silent. No, it's not that he's silent. He's not speaking to us. It's that we're clouded by so many things. We've got so many distractions and one of them is unforgiveness or one of them is holding on to things, you know, that God is asking us to let go of. People, places, and things. That was ministered to me one that said that before, you know, that God wants you to, there's things that God wants to ask to let go of, people, places, and things that hinder us. Sometimes people, if we continue to hang out with people, and sometimes it's not to blame people, but sometimes we have to check our company, we have to check our who's around us. Why can't we move forward? Yes, it's a lot of times things in ourselves, but sometimes it's the people that are around us. So if we continue to hang around the abuser, if we continue to hang around people that cause us pain, knowing that that's going to happen, then it's going to be hard to move on. It's going to be hard to let go, and sometimes even consequently hard to forgive, because we continue to, we're not guarding our heart, as the Bible tells us to guard our heart, because out of it comes the issues of life. So if we're in, somebody's in an abusive situation, for example, and they keep, I don't take this lightly, for a person being in that, whether it's physically, mentally, or emotionally, I believe that many of us have experienced some type of abuse. And so I know it's not easy when you are under a type of control. In other words, where it's hard to get out. I know what it's like to be in a situation where you want to escape, but you can't escape because it's like a bond. It's just a hold on your life. So I don't take that lightly. I don't say it lightly. But if I keep going back to that place, that person, that environment that continues to cause me pain, cause me turmoil over and over, then what? You know, I don't have no ways, you know, to separate or whatever I need to do. Then it's just gonna be extra harder to break free. I'm not saying a person can break free in those situations, but it's hard. Like it requires, like even sometimes forgiveness requires a separation. Like in order for you to heal from whatever. Hurt you, whatever wounded you, whatever happened, you, sometimes it requires even separation sometimes because, you know, there's too much going on around you. And especially if you've seen yourself as a victim for years and years and years, then you may have to consider, well, what is it that I need to rid myself of internally and externally that will cause me to heal from being that victim, victimization. Sometimes circumstances put us in the place of being a victim. The choices of others puts us in places of being a victim as well. So I do have that understanding and sensitivity to know that as well, that can happen.
Of course. And I have my steps. I have my steps of the steps to embracing healing and forgiveness. And I forgot to mention those. And so we're going to go into those. And everything that you just said touches on one of the steps. So I'm going to expound on them a little bit more. So one of them you may have heard, which is acknowledge the hurt. I was like, looking at my notes, like, oh, I got to catch up a little bit. And then we do have biblical reference. I do have biblical reference for those who are listening. If you need the biblical reference, and I put the comments up so that you're able to see them, because I get so excited sometimes I kind of just breeze on by the comments. I wanted you to be able to see as well. And so the first step to embracing healing or accepting healing or healing from past hurts and embracing forgiveness through forgiveness is one, once again, acknowledge the hurt. Mm-hmm. Noah said that it's crucial to acknowledge the pain and its impact on your life. And this step involves being honest with yourself and recognizing the emotions that you're experiencing. Okay. One of the reasons why it's crucial is because, like I told you all, I lived in a place of anger. I stayed angry because that for me was an easier emotion to deal with instead of recognizing the hurt, recognizing the betrayal, recognizing all of the other negative emotions that I had dealt with in the past. That was like, of all of these emotions, you know what is for me at this moment is easier to be angry. And I can tell you that that takes time off your life. It's not easier. It's not as easy as you think it is. The biblical support for this would be the 147th number of Psalm, verse 3, is that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And it's such a, I want to say that it's such a simple scripture. What it talks about is so simplistic, and it's really, but when you think about it, when you think about it and you really get it, that God is the one who will bind. He's going to heal your brokenheartedness and he will bind up your wounds. You don't have to worry about how long is it going to last me, because before you know it, you won't even be worried about the hurt no more. Mm-mm. And you won't be worried about the wound that's there. But I can tell you that if you continue in a non-acknowledgement, mm-hmm. that wound will sit there and it will fester. That the healing can't start to take place without the acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you want to share anything about under that step?
Yes, I definitely. I've had many moments that I've cried out in my bedroom. I cried up to God and I acknowledged just the hurt and pain. You know, I just poured it out to God, what hurt me. And some of it was recent present stuff at the time when it was happening, especially last year. I began to and I've always been an expressive person in some way, whether it's through writing or in some other format, even though I grew up very shy. And so I just began to pour out my heart to God. And mm-hmm. some of it was stuff, like I said, present, and then some of it stuff from the past that it wasn't because I didn't want to forgive. Many times it's not that a person doesn't want to forgive, or a person hasn't forgiven. They don't know how to let go of things, you know, what, or they need to learn how to let go of things. Like, and I hadn't, one person specifically had physically hurt me when I was a child, in my early childhood, but in school, they physically hurt me. And I was bleeding from my head. I was bleeding from my head. They had took my head. I was in school. They had came behind me, took my head, banged it on the table several times. And I was bleeding from my head. And he had gotten in a lot of trouble. His parents had to come in. My parents had to come in. My mom was there. And I believe his mom was there. And so we had a meeting with the teachers and our parents. And basically, you know, he got in some trouble for it. But You know, we were 6 years old. I was only 6 years old when this happened. And within that year, I fell behind in my grades. So I went around not feeling safe in life. And so just everywhere I went, I didn't feel safe. I just felt like harmed in some way. I felt like I just went around feeling that I wasn't safe a lot of times. And so I was afraid of boys and men. Through that experience, I was like, I tend to be afraid of male figures because I've been hurt by a lot of male figures in some ways that I didn't even realize now until I started pouring out to God my heart during that prayer moment. You know, the prayer moments, actually, I began to pour out to God about some of the things that hurt me. And like I said, that was a very early hurt. And when that happened at 6 years old in primary school, which is elementary school out where you guys are, British, we call it primary school. And so, you know, just that from that early on, I just always felt hurt by males. And there were other incidents that happened where I felt like unsafe around males. And so that situation came up. And it wasn't because I hadn't forgiven him. I haven't even seen him for a long time. I was since primary school, I believe. I never even really saw him again. After, it's not because I have anything, I'm holding anything against him. I realized that I was holding on to that incident that hurt. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have any bad feelings towards him, but it just hurt me, you know, just feeling. Right. Like again, that victim place of victim. So we have to acknowledge the hurt and be careful at the same time that we don't fall into that victimization, you know, of like, well, it's me, or, you know, that kind of thing, or nothing goes right. Because, you know, I know what it's like to, not to wear off too much, but I know what it's like to, I even said it before, you know, and maybe that's another topic to talk about that time. But I said nothing ever goes like a long time ago. I said it. I said nothing ever goes right for me, and that was a long time ago before I am where I am now. Spiritually, I said it out of frustration and anger. Nothing ever goes right for me, you know. Everything goes wrong, you know, and I said it at that time. Not realizing that the power of our words.
The power, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, acknowledging the heart, and even, like, that's another part.
Yes.
The power of our words, when you're having unforgiveness, it affects your words, it affects your mind, it affects different parts of us.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry. I know that it happened a long time ago, but I am still so sorry that that happened. That I kind of had something similar happen to me. I had a classmate kind of was playing too much and pulled my chair, and I smacked my mouth against the desk really hard, and my mouth started bleeding. And of course, he got in trouble for it, and I didn't want the teacher to call my mom. I'm like, no, I'll just rinse my mouth out. It's fine. And I think that's kind of, you take two different approaches to when you get hurt and that victimization mindset. I think it kind of, it's a similarities, but how you respond to it can end up being a little bit different. And we're gonna, you know, since we opened up the door, I think I'm gonna step through the door just a little bit. Is that sometimes one end of the spectrum could literally be, oh, everyone of this nature or of this gender is going to hurt me, and you do your best to avoid any type of close proximity with that gender. And the other is, I'm gonna hurt them all so they don't hurt me. And that didn't last too long, but I did kind of learn to not allow anybody to put their hands on me. So I've turned to fighting. Just boys, I would fight them because you wouldn't, you will not put your hands on me again. I don't care what, who you are, where you from. I don't care what your mama gonna do, what your auntie gonna do, or your cousin gonna do. What you're not gonna do is put your hands on me. And let me tell you, you have to be careful of that. You cannot live your life trying to put your hands on people just because, or try to fight somebody just because. That part of the victimization mindset is a very scary and dangerous place to be in. I laughed a little bit about it because that's my experience, and I've learned to kind of laugh at some of my experiences. But please don't be trying to fight no man. Please don't be trying to fight no man.
No,
don't do that. In all seriousness, no, don't do that. Just get away from the entire situation. Don't. And once again, that's with the sensitivity of knowing that might not be an easy to do thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. There is no mockery of any form of abuse. This is not the place. This is a safe place. This is a safe zone. And we're going to love and encourage. And every guest that I have will encourage you to learn to be safe, to use wisdom, to attempt as best you can to not be in those situations. And know that God can and will give a way of escape. And if you need somebody to talk to, I will put my email in the comments, or I have somebody to comment my email in the comments. And you have people that you can talk to that will encourage you and love you and support you. I'm sorry, I just have the need to kind of segue a little bit real quick, because that's not where we want to be. We don't want to be in a place of trying to fight, because some situations are not a situation that you can fight your way out of. Sometimes you have to run, and as fast as you can, as swiftly as you can. Tiffy put that in the comments. Please do not try to fight. Walk away swiftly if you can. Please, please get away. I felt a really quick shift in the podcast, and I do follow the unction of the Holy Spirit wherever and however He tells me to shift. As we're we shift where shift needs to happen at. Another one of the steps, and it was mentioned as well, is prayer and reflection. Prayer and reflection. That's a good comment. I'm gonna put it up. Let me put it up here. Yes, it will. That's a good comment. Thank you for that comment. You do not have to be the victim. There is a way of escape. God will always make a way of escape if you want to escape. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you want it, and God will keep you when you don't want to be kept. But if you want to escape, God will provide you a way of escape every time.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely.
Prayer and reflection. And you mentioned that how you cried out in your spare time. And a lot of us cry out. Some of us, one, you don't have to suffer in silence. Mm-hmm. That's important to know. Whether it be forgiveness, healing of past traumas, current traumas, you do not have to suffer in silence at all. Whether it's crying out in prayer, whether it's calling a hotline number to get help. Okay, I think we shift, because I can't let it go now. I can't let it go now. So Holy Spirit, I'm gonna need you to feed me what you want me to. Mm. What you want me to talk about? Because I'm gonna feel shifted in my spirit, and I can't let it go. So we're gonna talk about setting boundaries. really swiftly. Well, not swiftly. However, the Lord talks about, we're going to talk about setting boundaries. It's just to jump down a few steps, but setting boundaries mean establish healthy boundaries to protect yourself from further harm while maintaining forgiveness. We've talked about how forgiveness can be a difficult process, but with God, all things are possible. So that means even forgiving those who are causing you harm, even if it's current right now, God is still able to help you to forgive. And that does not mean that you have to stay in any way, shape, form, or fashion. You do not have to stay in no type of abusive situation. If you are able to go to church, you can talk to your pastor and your first lady, the mother's board, because I'm praying that God will give you somebody that you can talk to, that's going to hear you, that's going to listen to you, whose discernment is going to be heightened to your situation.
Yes, absolutely.
Which leads me to another one of the steps. And these steps do go in line with the topic. And I'm willing to hold it up so you can see it. See, set boundaries. It goes in line with my, I have it here on black and white. If you're watching live, you see it. If you're listening to if you watch the replay and you listen to the replay, you'll see it in black and white. These are the steps that God gave me. You can seek support, surround yourself with supportive individuals who can offer you encouragement, guidance, and prayer support. Prayer is one of the most important ways of getting through forgiveness, because as I mentioned earlier, we cannot do it on our own. Doing it on our own, we'll be a mess, because one minute we forgive you and the next minute we're not so sure, okay? Prayer is the principal thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Just like wisdom is the principal thing, I do believe that prayer is the principal thing. And the scripture reference for seeking support, I have to go back to my scripture reference, my biblical support reference for setting boundaries, which is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's the New International Version. All of these scriptures are from the New International Version, so I'll let you all know ahead of time. I normally try to. Is guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. If I'm not mistaken, the King James Version says, guard your heart, for out of it flows
the issues of life. Yeah. There's different versions that say different things.
Yeah. I like the King. And in this moment, the King James Version works better. It's guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Yeah. And then the biblical support for seeking support is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Okay. Another step, and these steps are kind of going to go kind of probably in a weird order, but practice self-care. And getting help and support to leave a domestic or abusive situation is self-care. That is self-care. That is you caring for yourself enough to get away, enough to want to get away. Just take care of your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. I'm going to add at, you know, seeking a way to, or seeking God for a way of escape. I'm going to add that into this and into the part of the practice self-care. I'm adding that. And the biblical support for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are now your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Meaning, on the self-care part of, you know, taking care of yourself, making sure that you're nurturing yourself with prayer, reading your Bible, having that intimate time with God, which is very important. Another step that I'm going to talk about briefly, because I'm going to ask Crystal if she has anything to add after I talk about this briefly. The step five would be release bitterness and resentment. Now, if you are currently in the situation, I know that that might be difficult. But once again, with God, all things are possible. With man, nothing is possible. So even in the current midst of the situation, it's possible to be able to release the bitterness and resentment that did not even be an issue. So let go of negative emotions such as bitterness, resentment, and revenge, and entrust them to God. And our support for that is Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. We've mentioned the scripture before. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So I wanted to ask Crystal, do you have, we want to hear what you have to share as far as the steps that we've mentioned so far and the shift and how is God, because I see that look on your face and I've learned to watch the looks.
Setting boundaries. So a lot of times when people are dealing with resentment, it's a lot of times of a lack of boundaries that they have set for themselves. So they begin to resent the situation, the person. But had they taken responsibility to set the right boundaries, then, you know, some of the things could have been avoidable. So it goes back to that again, setting boundaries, you know, being a place where we know what we need. What is it we need? We all have needs. And a lot of times we don't know how to set boundaries is because we don't know exactly or understand the needs that we have for ourselves. And so, one of the things with forgiveness, it definitely relates to boundary setting, because then a lot of times if you don't know your needs, you can become resentful and hold on to things that have come out of it, you know, out of not setting boundaries. A lot of things can happen in our lives because we have not set boundaries that can hurt us, that can wound us, and those things. And bitterness comes from a lack of joy. That's what I believe. A lot of times, bitter means you don't have no taste, you don't have no flavor. It's like, I believe a lot of times it comes from having a lack of joy, inner joy that comes from the Lord. The Bible says, "Counted all joy when you go through various trials." You know, we're supposed to be counted all joy, even when we go through situations that have hurt us, different things that people have done to us, said to us, you know, in the midst of that, the word tells us to count it all joy. And so bitterness a lot of times has to do with a lack of joy. So we become bitter, or we lose our taste, we lose our flavor. And therefore, because of misery and turmoil and bitterness, we don't have that joy anymore. And so it's a matter of asking God to restore our joy, to restore our peace, to help us to get to that place that whatever happened, whether we were treated unfairly. And it's a lot of times it starts with that too. Being treated unfairly. Something unfair happened. Something that was promised to us that we were disappointed in. And one of the great examples, I mean, obviously I wasn't there during those times with Joseph when he was in the prison. And they said, the cupbearer said that he would put in a wire phone. But yeah. He forgot. You know, that a lot of people have faced situations where they have been forgotten. People made promises over and over. And it just seemed like nothing ever happened to him, happened for them, you know. Mm-hmm. And so at that moment when Joseph was forgotten, you know, he still had to be in that position of leadership because he was, I believe he was put in charge of overall in that prison, you know. And when we are leaders, we have to learn how to not be so into our situations and ourselves that we are not able to lead at the moment when we have been disappointed, hurt, or something like that. Oh, that's yeah. So the cupbearer, they remembered him later on, and that's when, you know, Pharaoh called for him. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's at the moment we really learned, you know, through our disappointment, who really brings things in our lives to pass? Who brings us to that place of favor? Who brings us to that place of increase? Is it God or man? Man can forget us, intentionally and unintentionally. And so in that part, you know, where it just came to my memory. Just now when he was forgotten, and you know, he could have got, I mean, I'm not saying I don't know everything that Joseph was at that time because I wasn't there in the situation at the moment, but from the word of God, it's saying that he still excelled and was skillful even in the midst of all his brothers. Yeah, and that's another thing, when we hold on forgiveness, we're not able to really maximize our full potential. A lot of people's issues with progress or being successful at something sometimes can stand from unforgiveness, holding to heart pain, holding on to the past, holding on to regrets, holding on to disappointments. Where they cannot function, which affects you mentally, emotionally, and all those other areas that affect you. And I say this from experience. I know what it's like to be stuck in my past. I know what it's like to be stuck in just things always happen this way. And so, well, if we keep repeating that nothing ever goes right for us, or this is how it always goes, then it will always go that way because we have made that declaration with our mouths. And so when we start changing our words, when we start changing our declarations, our prayers, everything begins to shift. And I can say that now, for example, because I'm in the midst of shifting, things begin to shift when our worship, when our mindset shifts, when, you know, and that's a part of the forgiveness process. Yeah. You know, your mindset begins to change, your words begin to change from that places of things never go right for me, you know, or people always do this to me, you know, it shifts. Mm-hmm. And yes, we may have those moments. We're going to have those moments where we're tested and where the enemy would try to pull us back into that place. But we always have to find a way where we can redirect ourselves, redirect our focus. Yes, you may have been forgotten. People made promises to you. People have overlooked you. Maybe, you know, I know what it's like, I could say, to have a gift and to feel overlooked like other people were chosen over me. I've been there. I know what it's like to be a child, to have this gift and see others have the gift as well. But it seemed like everybody else was always chosen and not me. But, you know, that's the lie the enemy begins to put in us, that you're not chosen because maybe others maybe have been more liked and preferred than us. Then the enemy begins to speak lies to us through unforgiveness or through hurt and pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the disappointments we face, that's where the enemy begins to speak lies, that you're not chosen. But sometimes the person that is rejected the most is the chosen ones, like David. David was rejected by his own father. His father didn't see anything valuable about him, but yet he was chosen by God, anointed for a great purpose, but still didn't arrive there, you know, right away. He had to go through a period of time before he got there. And so that's many of people that have struggled with rejection and have had held on to unforgiveness or hurt or pain from rejection. They can be encouraged by that just because you ain't chosen by others at that time does not mean that you're not chosen by God for that time. And doesn't mean that you're not anointed.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, the anointing attracts a lot of attacks. It attracts a lot of people misunderstand us most. When you're anointed, when you're powerful, when God has a great call on your life, a lot of times you'll be mostly misunderstood, misinterpreted, all those kinds of things. Because, you know, that's just how a lot of things happen sometimes. People don't understand why you pray the way you do. They don't understand why you speak or minister the way you do. People may not even understand why you worship and praise the way you do. You know, mm-hmm. They just may not just understand it. They don't know maybe perhaps why you do it, you know. But, mm-hmm. You know, that's a part of, so when you understand that you are chosen, it will be easier to forgive as well. I am chosen. That in spite of all this hurt and pain I've been through, in spite of all the rejection, everything that I've faced in my life, the rape, the molestation, and I'm speaking to that person that possibly is listening to this, the molestation, the rape, the abuse, whatever you face in life.
Yes. You
know, whatever, mishandled, whatever you face in life, you know, you got to see yourself as chosen, as valuable, as loved. And once you're able to do that, you're able to release it. You know, release it, you know, bit by bit. You're releasing the pieces.
Yes.
And I want to say one of the ways to, I don't know if you guys remember seeing the movie The Diary of the Male Black Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. How, yes. So you gotta get busy on your purpose. Like all that time she was doing for him in that movie, she was just doing for him. And I believe that she really didn't have purpose in that marriage. She, in that story, in that movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a movie, but a lot of people go through this in real life.
Yes.
You know, find your purpose. Find your purpose. Find your purpose. Yes, relationships are good. Yes, marriage is good. But don't get lost in that when you don't know your purpose. Where if it was to end the next day or the next year, that you feel completely lost. So even in your process of forgiveness, even in your processes of letting go, make sure you find your purpose. Make sure you know your value.
Yes.
That's very important. You know, that's for your place of freedom. To see yourself again, see yourself as chosen, see yourself as God sees you. And sometimes it's hard to. Remember, hiding at that moment, it's hard to see the way God wants us to see ourselves. So we ask him in the midst of our heart, God, show me who I am in you, who you created me to be, God. Show me and help me to walk in that very way. And he's willing to assist.
And he will do it. He will definitely do it. And I even add to that, pray and ask God that you be open to receive it. Yes. So that when he shows it to you, you don't reject it. Because sometimes God shows us and we're not ready. We've prayed to God, who am I? Show me who I am in you. Show me what my purpose is in you. And if we don't ask God for an open heart, and we don't ask it with an open mind, because sometimes all we see is the sin that we've done. All we see is the choices that we've made. And that leads me to seeking God for forgiveness, but also forgiveness of self. Because self-forgiveness is very important, as well as forgiving others. Because as important as it is to forgive others, it is definitely important to forgive yourself. And sometimes forgiving yourself is harder than forgiving others.
That's true, yes.
So asking God, help me to forgive myself for continuing in the victimization mindset. You know, help me to forgive myself for allowing myself to be in these situations, for not learning from the mistake the first time, where, you know, help me to forgive myself for going in the wrong direction, because those things matter. So when you look at them, and a lot of times we don't look at the fact that we have to forgive ourselves until we're farther down the line, and now you're realizing that one of the reasons why it's hard for you to do something or find worth in yourself is because you never forgave yourself.
Wow. Yes.
And I'm saying that you're worthy. You're worth forgiving yourself, and you're worth being forgiven. You're worth forgiving yourself. And you are worth forgiving others. Because that's a lie that the enemy would like to tell you, that you're not worth forgiving. So what's the point of forgiving? But you are worth it. You really are. Mm-hmm. Because one, God says that you are. Mm-hmm. His love for you says that you're worthy. His sacrifice for you says that you're worthy. Him raising from the dead says that you're worthy.
Amen.
And practice compassion towards yourself. Practice compassion. And Crystal said this earlier, practice compassion, not just for others, but for yourself as well. You have to be compassionate towards yourself as well as others, because that's another important part in the realm of self-forgiveness, is practicing compassion and empathy. Yeah. So not only see the situation from the perspective of the other person, but ask God to give you an eye or in a heart of compassion towards yourself, because so that you can really see the perspective that you had when you made the decision. When you ask God to see the perspective that you had, because sometimes when you're in the midst of doing it, you don't know the perspective. I wasn't in that place of, oh, I know the perspective of why I did it. So no, you just want to do what you want to do. And consequences, we don't care about the consequences in the moment of when we're doing it, right? But when you ask God to show you the perspective of yourself when you hurt yourself, then you're able to see the perspective of others as well. And the biblical support for that would be Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you.
Amen.
So, having an attitude or cultivating an attitude of gratitude.
Amen.
Is another step.
Yeah.
Which is basically learning to count the blessings that you have. Learning to count the blessings that God have already gave you. You still have life in your and breath in your body. You still have a roof over your head. You still have mm-hmm. food to eat. You know, you may the roof that's over your head, it might not be a 5-6 bedroom with 4 bathrooms, you know, but you still have a roof over your head. You still have food to eat. It might not be 5-star Michelin restaurant food, but it's good, and you have it. You know, you have a car to drive, or you have transport, any form of transportation. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I say, after you have taken these steps, then you can learn to start embracing reconciliation, which should be the final step. It's embracing reconciliation. That's if the relationship is worth reconciling. Because sometimes you have to ask God for discernment of whether or not it's worth reconciliation.
That's true. That's very true.
So seek reconciliation with God, which can lead to a deeper healing and restored relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister have something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar first. Go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. And that is... Oh, there's a little bit. Is that a mic moving? I'm not sure. Okay. So that is all of that to embracing healing or healing compassion, and forgiveness. Did you have anything you wanted to? Anything else?
What I would say is that I remember when I was supposed to come over early and how just things happened. Remember? Just things kept like happening where I couldn't come on. And so I just want to encourage somebody that in your situations that you may be facing, like you may be facing even delays in your life, you know, you may be facing obstacles. Even getting here wasn't easy. I just had different situations happen that try to keep me from, you know, using my voice for the glory of God. So I want to encourage you that let this be an encouragement that me even being on here tonight, I pray it's an encouragement because, like I said, I was supposed to be on here much sooner, but something happened that tried to keep me off of here. So I pray that whatever things that God has for you to do, whatever that you are facing right now that may make it look or seem impossible or difficult to reach, just know that you can. Because just me being on here tonight, it shows how God can scatter the plans of the enemy in the midst of what you've done, in the midst of whatever situations you face in your life. Remember that God can scatter the plans of the enemy. No matter how it looks, he will scatter the plans of the enemy. You just got to stand on his word and stand on his promises.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. I absolutely agree. And I have enjoyed this series on forgiveness. And I've learned something new that's going on with me. And I pray that you will have strengthened and it just feels something within the stories of you. And please remember, remember that queen, you are built for this.
You got to be bold, cause you're beautiful. You got to be strong, cause you're wonderful. You need to have faith, to have faith. You were built for this.